Thank you. Open your Bibles, please, to Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes. That's right after the book that's right before it. Ecclesiastes, Proverbs is right before Ecclesiastes, isn't it? Chapter number two. Ecclesiastes chapter number 2. Now I want everybody to be seated. No one standing around. Everyone be seated. I cannot speak to you on the subject that Brother Scott spoke about a while ago, for it's been so long I don't remember all those things. They tell me I got married once. I don't remember. And it's been, I can't even tell you, 46 years this October. And I don't remember snuggling. I'm sure I did at some time or another. I don't remember it. But I cannot speak to you along that line. I cannot speak to you along the line Brother Eddie spoke a while ago on rock music, because I do not have rock tapes in my home like he does. He didn't learn all of that, just hearsay. But I have passed, as a little ring in that, I have pastored more teenagers than any man who's ever lived. And the subject I'm going to talk to you about this morning, I am eminently qualified to speak about. I am more qualified to bring this message than Ed Lapina is. I'm more qualified to bring this message than Jack Scopp is. In fact, neither of them could bring this message this morning, because neither of them has been as far down the road as I've been. I want you to realize that I love to have fun. The truth is, I don't think there's a teenager in this room that has any more fun or laughs any more than I do. I don't think there's a teenage activity where you have more fun than we have on our church staff. So I believe in having fun. In fact, I guess the thing I get criticized for the most in my preaching is that maybe I cut up a little too much in my preaching. But I think that if I have fun with you, and if I become a teenager with you, I've done so now for the last 2 hours and 30 minutes, I think that you ought to become an adult with me for a few minutes. And so I want you to sit up straight like I would sit up if I were listening to you speak. I want you to listen as carefully as if I were listening to you. And I want to talk to you from my heart. I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water, swimming pools and fishing pools, therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also the silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I get me singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. That would include rock music if it says all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were in Jerusalem, before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. Now get this. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was the portion of my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Now close your Bibles, sit up real straight, and look right at me, please. Solomon had had everything that you think will make you happy. Everything. Whatever it is, doesn't matter what it is, whatever it is this morning that you think will make you happy, Solomon had it. He traveled down five roads and came back to tell us what those roads were like. And he tells us here what they're like. I read a story once of a man who was lost in the forest. He tried to find his way back to town and failed. He tried to find his way back to town another way and failed, and another way and failed. And finally, to his delight, he bumped into another fellow who was in the forest. And he said, "Boy, am I glad to see you. I'm lost in the woods. I've tried to find my way back to town and I can't. I'm glad to see you." And the other fellow said, "I'm lost too. I've tried to find my way back to town, and I too have failed." So the fellows got together and said, "Neither of us knows the way back to town. Are you listening?" But he said, "Both of us knows some ways not back to town." Now he said, "Let's get together and pool our ways that we have tried and failed to find town, so we'll know not to go those ways." That's exactly what Solomon is saying here. Solomon is saying, "I've tried some ways to happiness, fulfillment, a rich life. And," he said, "I've come back to tell you I have not found yet the answer, but I found five things that are not the answer." That's what the entire book of Ecclesiastes is about. An old man who's tried everything that you think you want comes back and says, "I don't know what the right road is, but I know what the wrong roads are." And then he tries to tell us what those wrong roads are. I want to share what he said. Our Heavenly Father, alert every mind in this room. Hush every mouth in this room. Still every rustling foot, page turning hand, and focus our attention for a few minutes on life. Amen. I was a young man in Texas pastoring. There's a little whistle in this. I was a young man in Texas pastoring. I had a daily radio broadcast called the Old Time Religion Broadcast. Every morning, 6:05 to 6:30 on station KSKY in Dallas. Now, by the way, I won't be needing this for a while. And I broadcast live from the auditorium of our church, 6:05 to 6:30 every morning. And but if I didn't, if I wasn't going to be in town a particular morning, I'd make a tape. And I would send that, I'd take that tape down to the Stoney Hotel on the 11th floor of that very swank hotel where all the celebrities almost had visited Dallas. I was pastoring near Dallas. All the celebrities almost had visited Dallas stayed in the Stoney Hotel. It was plush. I would take that tape down to the Stoney Hotel, catch an elevator up to the 11th floor. On the top floor, the 11th floor, was the was KSKY, the radio station that we were on. It was evening, early evening. I was going to be out of town the next morning, and so I made a tape. I decided to take that tape down to Stoney Hotel. I got on the elevator. In those days, we didn't have automatic elevators. We had elevator operators. Some attractive young lady would be the operator and would operate the elevator for you. I got on the elevator, and I said, "11th floor, please." She didn't do a thing. She was staring.
and going, ooh, ooh.
I wasn't surprised. Most women do that when they get around me. And so I said, 11th floor, please.
Ooh, ooh.
And I said, 11th floor, please.
Ooh, he kissed me. He kissed me. He kissed me.
I said, ma'am, if I kiss you, will you take me to the 11th floor, please?
He kissed me. He kissed me.
I said, who kissed you? Are you ready? She said,
Elvis. Elvis kissed me. He was on this elevator. I took him to the 7th floor. Between the 1st floor and the 7th floor, he kissed me. He kissed me. Elvis kissed me.
I said, look, I've got to go. I said, Elvis who? She said,
Elvis Presley. Elvis Presley kissed me. Right there.
Well, where else is there to kiss? And unless you want to get a hickey. But anyway, I know what they are now, and I don't have any. But I said, tell me. She said,
oh, he said, Elvis was on this elevator, and he and I were alone together. He got off the 7th floor, and he kissed me.
She took me to the 11th floor. I did not kiss her. The little the table on which I had to put the tape was about as far as from me and Miss Colston over here, the organ bench. I said, would you mind holding, please? I'll be right there. I just got to toss this tape on a table. And so she stayed. I went back, got on the elevator, and I said, I want to go back down to the main floor, please. But the elevator, a little light came on, 7th floor. And so the elevator stopped at the 7th floor. And Elvis got on. I touched him. Oh, I touched him. And oh, the joy that filled my soul. Something happened. And now I'm ruined. But anyway, Elvis got on. And I started talking to Elvis. No, he did not kiss me. But I started talking to Elvis. And so we went down to the main floor, and he had a few minutes to wait. There's a beautiful limousine outside, but he had a few minutes to wait. And I said, Elvis, could I talk to you? At that time, I was about 30 years of age. And I said, Elvis, I said, do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? And Elvis Presley told me these words. He said, yes, Jack, I know I'd go to heaven if I died. I said, Elvis, how do you know you'd go to heaven if you died? And Elvis Presley said to me, when I was a boy, just a little boy, my godly grandmother took me to a revival meeting out in the country outside of Memphis, Tennessee. And there I heard the gospel from an old-fashioned country preacher. And I realized that I was a sinner, and I realized that Jesus was the Savior. And I walked down the aisle of the old-fashioned country meeting, and I received Christ as my Savior. He said, Jack, I know I'd go to heaven if I died. I said, Elvis, tell me something. By the way, he had on a satin green, bright green suit. Satin. About as sissy as that tie Brother Eddie's got on this morning. And it was the shiniest suit you can imagine. A beautiful satin. Tell me something. Why, if you are saved, are you living the life that you're living now? And Elvis Presley said, because I got tired of being a slave. I got tired of being in bondage. I got tired of all the rules, like some of you folks are this morning. I wanted to be free. I didn't want to be a slave to rules. I wanted to be free to do my thing. He went out and got in this big, we talked a while, and I'll tell you a few things that later that he said. But anyway, he went out and got in the limousine, beautiful, and everything was just, I mean, the rings on his finger, the diamonds, and the diamond stud on his shirt, and a diamond on his lapel here, and he had everything, humanly speaking. He went out, and I went about business. Years passed. I picked up the paper one day, big giant headlines, "The King is dead." The King is dead. How'd he die? A slave. Why do you want to be, why do you live this lifestyle, Elvis? I want to be free. And he died a slave, just like some of you are, to dope today. Just like some of you are a slave in bondage to rock music. Well, you say, I can give those things up whenever I want to. Prove it. Now, Elvis Presley did the same thing that Solomon did. Elvis Presley and Solomon both discovered not the way to town, but the wrong way to town. Solomon said, there are five things I've discovered. And those five things, I can't tell you what works, but I can tell you what doesn't work. And Elvis Presley, if he could walk in this on this platform today, I promise you this, he would say to you, I discovered what won't work, but I didn't discover what will work. Now, if he discovered what will work, why did he commit suicide? I mean, everything that you folks in the world think you want today, Elvis had, and he killed himself. So I'm trying to tell you, nobody, never has been anybody, and never will be anybody that goes down any one of these five roads who comes back to say, that's a wonderful journey. Now, going out the road is fun, but the end of the road is wretched. And the trip back is miserable. Now I want to call your attention to these five roads. The first road, Elvis and Solomon traveled. And the only difference in them and you is that they went there and have come back, and you're on your way there. And I'm not saying it isn't fun, like Brother Scott said a while ago and Brother Eddie said a while ago. I'm not saying it's not fun. I'm just saying, why have fun if you're going to have a wreck if the bridge is out down the road? So Elvis Presley and Solomon said, the first thing we travel down the road to escape. Solomon said, I tried to forget life. Elvis Presley said, I tried to forget life. That's why people drink liquor. They can't face reality. That's why people take their dope. They can't, hey, listen to me. They can't face reality. That's why people play rock music. You can't face reality. But blessed be God, brother, you come to Jesus and serve God, and you can be happy in reality. Amen. Solomon comes down the road, and he says, I tried my escape. I went to my nightclubs. I drank my liquor. I smoked my pot. I took my dope. I played my dirty music. He said, I had all the music, all types of music. And he said, I came. But he said, I've come back to tell you, that road right there is not a happy road. Young people, I said a while ago, this young man can't tell you today what I can tell you. I've sat in my study for 43 and a half years and watched you young people like you come back from the wrong road. Not once has anybody ever come back and said, I went down the road of liquor. I've come back to tell you what a wonderful road it is. Not once has any young person come back to say, I've gone down the road to dope. I've come back to tell you what a wonderful, wonderful road it is. Not once has any young person ever come back to me and said, preacher, I've come back from the road of rock music, and I want to tell you what a wonderful, rich life it is.
Ask Lyle Alzado. Lyle Alzado, Super Bowl, Oakland Raiders. Lyle Alzado, Super Bowl, Denver Broncos. Lyle Alzado, actor in Hollywood. I saw him on the screen in the television set in my room just this week once again, interviewed. A covering over his head. Scrawny, drawn, standing before television cameras, telling all of America, don't go down that road. It brings ruin and sorrow and sadness. Don't go down that road. Now, hey, if you won't listen to a Baptist preacher, listen to Lyle Alzado. If you won't listen to this guy, listen to Lyle Alzado. Get everything. Let me tell you something. Kids, what you better do is listen to somebody who's been down the road, who's come back and said, it's not going to make you happy. It's not going to bring you joy. And also listen to somebody who's counseled with thousands of people who've been down those roads. And not a one has ever come back and said it's a wonderful life. But I've had tens of thousands of young people say, preacher, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. And I've had hundreds of them come back and say, I found the answer. My whole ministry is wrapped up in doing this. I check the roads to see where they lead. I check and see the end of those roads and see where they lead. Broken lives in there. Hey kids, broken marriages in there. Hey kids, broken air castles in there. I'm saying, I know what I'm talking about. In God's name, don't go down the road that leads to escape. Give your heart to Christ and serve him till you die, and live long enough to say, praise God, I found the answer. The king is dead. The king is dead. There's a second road. Elvis and Solomon went down, and this second road is the pleasure road. Solomon said, whatever my eyes wanted, I gave them. Solomon said, I had swimming pools. I had fishing pools. I had wine. I had nightclubs. I had performers. I had comedians. I had all the fun you could want. Solomon said, I've been down that road. And he said, I've come back to tell you, that road is not the answer. He said, I don't know what the answer is, but I know what the answer ain't. Now, kids, you listen to me. Call me what you want to call me. But you're a fool not to heed what I'm saying this morning. Say what you want to say. Call me the Piltdown man. Call me the Neanderthal, man. Call me old fashioned. Call me the 1950s. Call me what you want to call me. But I know the answers. Solomon said, I've traveled down that road of escape. I've tried my rock music. Elvis Presley said to me, he said, look at the suit. He said, compare it to the one you're wearing. I hope he's enjoying his today. I'm enjoying mine. He held his finger up there. He said, look at that stone.
compared to what you're wearing. That ring today, if he's wearing it, is on a finger that's lifeless, crossing his breast in death, a testimony nobody has ever found joy, happiness, peace, contentment, fulfillment in pleasure. Solomon said, don't go down the road to escape. I've been down there. It's not the way. He said, don't go down the road over here to pleasure. I've been down there. It's not the way. You know why I'm up here? You know why I'm standing up making a fool of myself, almost 65 years of age, conducting a nationwide youth conference? You know why this morning, 3 hours, 3 o'clock in the morning, I was up on my knees beside the bed, praying for God to help me financially to keep Hiles Anderson College open. You know why? I don't have to be doing that. I could retire. I could spend the rest of my life preaching around the country with no budgets to raise. 3 o'clock this morning, I didn't get my 3 hours sleep night before last. 3 o'clock this morning, I was on my knees beside the bed saying, oh God, show me how I can get the money to open Hammond Baptist Schools next year. These kids over here don't know what I'm talking about. They don't have that burden to bear. I don't have to do that. I could be going from church to church. I could book solid this morning in this room from pastors in this room who would book me the rest of my life. I wouldn't have to operate a high school. I wouldn't have to try to beg God to give me enough money to open the doors of Hiles Anderson College this fall. I wouldn't have to do it. I do it because I love these kids over here. And I do it because I love you, Hiles Anderson College kids. And that's why I'm up here making a fool of myself. An old man trying to preach at a youth conference. Tell me exactly why. An old man knows something you don't know. For 43 and a half years, I've sat beside and across the desk from and across the table from young people who wasted their lives, who've gone down the road of escape and come back and said, preacher, it didn't work. They've gone down the road to pleasure and they've come back and said, preacher, it didn't work. I promise you, trust me, I beg you, listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. You're not going to be happy down there, and you're not going to be happy down there. Solomon said, I've tried some roads. He said, I'm an old man. Haven't found the way to town, but I found the way not to town. I found that doesn't get to town, escape. I found pleasure doesn't get to town. By the way, let me say this. There's more to it than us disagreeing. There's more to it than our not seeing eye to eye. I'll tell you what's to it. A teenager who hasn't shaved yet, who's never had a job, full-time job yet, who's never had a child yet, thinking you know more than this good man right here knows, and thinking you know more than this man right here knows. Kids, you don't know more. We've been at this business for years. We sit in the office, he and I do, Saturday morning sometimes with tears running down our cheeks, having to expel some young people that we love like we love our own lives. We sit there and say, I don't see how she could do it. I don't see how. One morning I know I got up and I walked away and turned my back on Dr. Evans and Dr. Jorgensen and stood there and wept as they wept where they were. You know why we do it? Tell you why. We know the answer. You don't know them yet. Listen to what we're saying. Solomon said, there's the third path. He said, that third path, I tried. Didn't work either. haven't found the way, but I can tell you the wrong ways. He said the third path is the path of money. Money. Some of you kids have too many dreams built around a nice house. You have too many dreams built around a good job. Solomon said, I made $19 million a year on gold alone. He said, I had more money than anybody before me. Now listen to me. That thing right there has never made anybody happy. His escape left him in a few hours. His pleasure left him at midlife. And his money left him at death. Elvis Presley said to me, look, Jack, he pulled out his billfold. Or didn't have it, no, he put out a wad like that. I never saw so much money in my life. I mean, he had pictures of presidents. I didn't even know we were a president. He said, look at there. Elvis Presley said to me, show me yours. And I pulled out a few dollars. And I looked at him and I said, Mr. Presley, I'll never have what you have financially. But I said, let's just wait a while. Let's just wait a while. I said, your money won't make you happy. And if money makes you happy, why is he in a casket now, killed by his own hands? The king is dead. The king was dead when I saw it. My Bible says, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. He said, that's not the answer. I've talked to the famous folks of the world. I've been on airplanes. I talked to Elvis Presley, Jimmy Stewart, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Harry Truman, Jimmy Carter, Ted Williams, Oprah Winfrey, Michael Jordan, Willie Mays, George Allen, Adolph Rupp, Tip O'Neill, Senator Everett Dirksen. I've met them. I've talked to almost all of them about Jesus Christ. By the way, I won Ted Williams to Christ. But I've talked to almost all of them about Christ. I want to tell you something, folks. You go down that road of escape and smoke your pot, listen to your rock music, drink your liquor. You're going to come back someday like Elvis did. The king is dead. You go down that road of pleasure. Enjoy all the things you think are fun. Let me tell you something. There's not a thing in this world as rotten as the Hollywood crowd is. You say, hey, Brother House, how can I know what to not watch on television? Well, one good idea is start by not watching anything comes out of Hollywood. I don't care if it's Mickey Mouse. Don't watch anything comes out of Hollywood. I mean, I'm saying, Solomon said, I've had it all. I've had the escape. I'm coming back to say that's not the way. I've had the pleasure. I'm coming back to say it's not the way. I've had the money. I'm coming back to say it's not the way. Your Majesty, Your Honor, pardon me, but you're an old man. You've lived a rich life. You've had anything you wanted. What else is it that didn't work? He strokes his graying beard, rubs his white hair, lifts a palsied hand, an old squeaky voice, he says, education, human education doesn't bring it. I'll just go ahead and say this right now. Not one single kid in this room ought to go to a state university. Well, you got to go there to get what I want, then change what you want. You know what they are. There's sex pots, flesh pots, dope centers, liquor centers, coeducational dormitories. You know what they are. I'm saying, Solomon said, I took another road. I took the road of education. Elvis Presley told me, he said, Jack, he said, I have private tutors. And he said, as he pulled that roll out, he said, I can afford any teacher in the world I want to hire. Not just to teach me in a classroom, but to come to my home and teach me privately. Can you match that? I say to you, Elvis, I come to your grave as I've done. I go to Memphis, Tennessee. I drive down Elvis Presley Boulevard and drive by that mansion up there where he lived. I come to your grave, Elvis. I'm 64. I'm having fun. I have a rich life. I laugh more than you ever laughed. You're in the grave. Your body won't wiggle anymore. Your wife's next husband's got your money. You told me you had it right and had it good. I tell you, I'm still alive. I ate breakfast this morning. What'd you have? I'm going to eat lunch after a while if I can get this guy to quit preaching up here. What are you going to do? Why don't you have enough sense to listen to Elvis Presley? If you won't listen to Ed LaPina, if you don't listen to Jack Scott, listen to Elvis Presley. The king is dead. Escape is dead. Pleasure is dead. Money is dead. But I know somebody who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Elvis said, and Solomon said, I tried escape. That's not the way. I tried pleasure. That's not the way. I tried money. That's not the way. I tried education. That's not the way. What else did you try? Solomon, what else did you try? I tried religion. I had 700 wives, 300 concubines. I worshiped all the gods they worshiped. If he could put it in our language, if I married a Presbyterian, I went there on Sunday morning. It's because you can't go back Sunday night. There ain't nothing going on back here. Unless it's a square dance. I married a Catholic. I went there on Easter. Married a charismatic. I'd just as soon marry a Catholic. Went there on Sunday night. I married a Baptist. Fundamental Independent Baptist. Went there on Wednesday night. Solomon said, I have tried the path of religion. He said, I've come to tell you that doesn't work either. Your Highness, tell me quickly, what does work? He hobbles over, strokes his beard, and says, well, I'll tell you, young people, escape doesn't work. Pleasure doesn't work. Money doesn't work. Secular education doesn't work. Religion doesn't work. He said, I think this should be the answer for you. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, and thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. What's he saying? He's saying when you get 65, you can stand up and say, No beer has ever touched these lips. That's what Solomon said he wants. When you get 65, I can say no wine or whiskey's ever gone through these lips. No cigarettes ever been in these lips. Nobody can point to me and say you rustled an unholy skirt. I'm saying, young people, it pays to serve Jesus. It pays every day. It pays every step of the way. It's an old story. I close with it. Half of you have heard it. It was St. Margaret's Hospital. We had a young man in this church who was the epitome of everything we want a young person to be. Everything. He, clean as could be, faithful as could be, everything we want you to be is what he was. But while he was in his late teens, he went into sin. Liquor, women, dope, he covered it all. First name was Dick. Dick had a father who loved him dearly. His father became ill. They took him to the hospital and examined him, and the doctor said nothing's wrong with him. He has a broken heart for his son. That's all that's wrong. And by the way, that can make you sick. His father said, as the doctor said, you're not sick, sir, except you have a broken heart for your son. The father begged Dick. I beg you, Dick, why don't you come back where you used to be? But like some of you, not heeding the warnings of mothers and fathers and pastors and youth workers, Dick continued. His father got worse and worse. Listen carefully. You'll never see anything like this in your life. You'll never hear anybody else say this and tell the truth. I went to the hospital. Dick's father was critically ill. The doctor finally pronounced him dead. Nothing wrong with him. Nothing wrong with him. No prognosis of death. They pulled that sheet over his body. And there sits the family. And all of a sudden the door opens. And in walks Dick. Same kind of fellow that you are this morning. You think you know more than God knows. You know more than Solomon knows. You won't even take the heedings of Elvis Presley. I said the king is dead. I said the king is dead, but my king liveth forever. In walks Dick. Sunken eyes. Sunken cheeks. Family hadn't seen him in weeks. Didn't say a word. He walks over to the bed on which lay the lifeless form of the corpse of his dad. He pulls back the sheet like that. He gets up on the bed, straddling his dad's body. Like this. His dad's body is laying between his legs. Reaches down and he pulls up his dad's body and puts his arm behind his dad's back and his neck. And then he puts his other arm around and he says, hug me, Daddy. Hug me, Daddy. Daddy, hug me. Hug me, Daddy! Daddy, hug me! Too late, Dick. He's dead. You murdered him. He takes his hands and holds his daddy's face between his hands and kisses his daddy's dead lips and says, kiss me back, Daddy! Daddy, kiss me back! Kiss me back, Daddy! Kiss me back!
Too late, Nick. Fellows, out in the Crown Point jail, I remember how many times I counseled with you. One of you, I remember when you were just a baby, your mother brought you to my office. She'd been through a divorce and she needed some counsel. I don't know how many times she put you there on the floor while I was trying to help her. But you wouldn't listen to me. It's too late. It's not too late to be used, but it's too late to be what you could have been. It's too late never to go to jail. It's too late never to have a record. It's too late never to be a criminal. Hey, the other one out there in the other cell. Son, do you remember when you came to my office the last time? Remember? For 43 years, no preacher's ever loved his kids like I've loved mine. For 43 years, I've given my life to two things, my country and my young people. They don't know it. I don't get to go with them like I want to. I've got to be home keeping the doors open. I know what I'm talking about. I'm no novice telling you what I heard. I'm no teenage revivalist telling you what I think. I'm a seasoned old veteran telling you what I know. And I know this. I know escape is not the answer. And I know that pleasure is not the answer. And I know that money is not the answer. And I know that education, formal education, secularly is not the answer. And I know that religion is not the answer. What is the answer? Let Christ have your life. Be clean and decent and pure. The king is dead. I can see that headline now. The king is dead. Blazoned across the papers of America. And Brother McSpadden was right. He did a perfect... What word do I want? Impersonation of Elvis Presley. May I tell you, when he was cutting up a while ago, he did a pretty good impersonation of Jack Hyles. The satin suit didn't matter. And the flashing ring and the diamonds didn't matter. And I went out and got in an old car that was 12 years old, and he went out and got in a chauffeured limousine. But I'm still driving the car. The king is dead. The king is dead. You know what you ought to do? Every teenager in this room ought to say, I'm going to give my life to serve my God full time. I'm going to serve my nation and save my nation. Somebody's got to be the youth director someday when Ed Lapine is older. Somebody's got to pastor First Baptist Church of Hammond in a few years when I'm going to heaven. Somebody's got to take their young people to youth conference. Well, pray tell me, where are they going to come from? You think those kids at home going to rock concerts are going to be the pastors and youth directors and assistant pastors and principals of Christian schools and Christian school teachers in the next generation? You think that's where they're coming from? No, sir. If we have them, they're coming from this room right here. You're the hope for America. What you all do this morning is say, I'm going to give my life full-time service. And I won't have to escape. Come here. Gave my life to this boy. They don't make money that can buy what I feel when I see him. There are no cars or rings or diamonds or suits of clothes can take the place of what I feel
when I've given my life to a kid like this. I used to conduct Bible school, and the characters of Bible school would cut up. I've seen this little fella cry as a beginner in a primary. I've seen him grow up. I don't know what you're going to do with your life, but tell you what, if you get 64 someday, almost 65, you can put your arms around the fella, and I could put my arms around thousands. You'll be happy you chose to serve God. Thanks, Eddie. No one moving. Would you bow your heads, please?